Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to it. My name is Rifilwe Moloto. I'm standing in this evening on behalf of Phemelo Motene on this edition of Point of View. If you were listening in yesterday, or even if you were just listening in to Kukumfupi just now on Kaya Biz, you will be well aware of the escalations in what has been happening in East Africa, or Central and East Africa, the eastern border, of the DRC has been under massive skirmishes as M23 rebels, believed to be backed by the Rwandan government, have taken control of Goma, a provincial capital on the eastern province. Now, this is not a distraction, what we're about to talk about, because I think it's quite important to the peace process at large. What happened over the last 24 hours... If you recall from our conversation yesterday, President Ruto of Kenya tried to call a meeting of East African community leaders in order to get some way forward. Amongst what was discussed, we heard from President Kagame of Rwanda, who has made some pretty bold claims. In a post to X, he says, "I held two conversations this week with President Ramaphosa on the situation in Eastern DRC, including earlier today. What has been said about these conversations in the media by South African officials and President Ramaphosa himself contains a lot of distortion, deliberate attacks, and even lies." He goes on to highlight a couple of the concerns he has. The Rwandan Defense Force is an army, not a militia. SAMI DRC, which is obviously the SADC-led peacekeeping mission, he says is not a peacekeeping force and it has no place in the situation. He goes on to highlight that President Ramaphosa had never given him a warning of any kind, that in fact all he has done is try to support the South African Defense Force, National Defense Force, with electricity, food and water. And then closes with a very sharp barb, saying if South Africa wants to contribute to peaceful solutions, that is well and good. But South Africa is in no position to take on the role of a peacemaker or mediator. And if South Africa prefers confrontation, Rwanda will deal with the matter in that context any day. We have obviously reached out to the presidency for comment and we have not heard back. Which is unfortunate because the government spokesperson of Rwanda, as I was mentioning just now, Tukuku, has been across most news platforms in South Africa all day, giving their point of view. To help us understand the implication of this escalation in bilateral diplomatic and presidential relationship, I'm joined this evening by risk analyst and former diplomat Dr. Kingsley Makubela, who's going to help us wade through all of this. Dr. Makubela, thank you so much for joining us on Point of View. How are you this evening?
Very well, Rufino. Thanks very much for the invitation.
Absolutely. I'd love to get your high-level sense of where we are and whether or not I've placed it appropriately this evening.
Absolutely. We are at the lowest ebb of the relationship between Rwanda and South Africa. And meanwhile, we have casualties. We have people who died in the Congo and were yet to receive their mortal remains. So the country is quite very low in terms of morale. People have been raising a lot of questions. And compounding this thing, of course, is this spat between Ramaphosa and Paul Kagame, unfortunately.
I think possibly exacerbating this, Doctor, is the concept or the idea certainly that we had yesterday that we don't seem to have a coordinated message from South Africa, either of its intentions with whether it's the MINUSCO or the SADC DRC deployment. Secondly, what peace talks will look like. And thirdly, in some ways, which I'll play in a little bit from to Kagame's point, on which side South Africa stands in this battle.
You know, Rufino, the biggest problem that we are having, and I hope we'd get out of this, is a thinking that we can resolve the Congolese conflict by military force. And yet we've seen in the last few years the conflict has been resistant to military resolution. You recall at one stage, We had Angola, Namibia, and Zimbabwe, who sent troops to pop up Laurent Kabila. And each time there's a military that comes in, the political leadership of the Congo refuses to look at legitimate political consents and to be able to attend to those issues. You've seen the same thing now with President Tshisekedi. He has no intention to sit down with Paul Kagame or sit down with the M23. And yet this conflict is not winnable on the battlefield. Evidence points to that direction.
May I push back on that? And maybe this is just the way that it is stated by our diplomats. But two things to what you just said. The first is in the Luanda process that was being run by Angolan President Lourenco, in December, there was meant to be an engagement with President Tshisekedi, and he was willing, except he didn't want to sit down with M23. He wanted to sit face to face with President Kagame, which Kagame refused. And I think that's where those talks fell apart. And then secondly, if I can quote President Ramaphosa's statement of yesterday, he does say South Africa's military presence in the Eastern DRC is not a declaration of war against any country or state. The members of the SANDF that are in the DRC are part of both SADC and UN nations' efforts to bring peace and protect thousands of lives that are constantly threatened by the conflict in the DRC. I mean, having said that, you know, do you not think that these are efforts towards engagement on a peaceful basis?
But if you look at the mandate of the SADC mission, the mandate of the SADC mission is to go and work with the Congolese government to basically root out all these conflict groups in Eastern DRC. It's an offensive mandate. It's not a peacekeeping, it's not a peace mission.
Right. That's where they differ with the UN.
That's where they differ. And Kagame is quite right to say South Africa cannot be a mediator and a player at the same time. It's antithesis of a mediator. A mediator must remain neutral on issues under dispute, but the mediator must take a position, and the position that the mediator must take is because he wants to stop the conflict and the carnage and the loss of life. That's the only interest of the mediator. But once the mediator start getting involved in inflicting loss of life, it's no longer a mediator, it's a party to the conflict.
I think I would agree with you. We have skin in the game in the form of our troops, and I think a pretty close relationship with the DRC more so than Rwanda. I wanted to, if you don't mind, Doctor, just play you, because I want to go step by step in terms of the assertions President Kagame has made. The one, of course, is that he says the RDF, the Rwandan Defense Force, is not a militia. It is an army. And he says that in light of the first paragraph of President Ramaphosa's statement, which used to say, following the recent intensification of fighting in Eastern DRC, South Africa has lost 13 brave soldiers. He goes on to say the fighting is the result of an escalation by the rebel group M23 and Rwanda Defense Force militia engaging the armed forces of the DRC FARDC. Now, the presidency has quietly deleted the word militia from that statement today. Yes. Yesterday it said
Absolutely.
Militia. The second thing I wanted to play you, if I can have you have a listen to this, refers to the third claim, or rather fourth claim, that President Kagame makes. He says President Ramaphosa has never given a, quote, warning of any kind, unless it was delivered in his local language, which I do not understand. Please have a listen to this clip from Defense Minister Angie Motshekga at her press conference yesterday.
Kaya Talk.
Kaya Talk.
How much more?
On the street.
Information does anybody need?
On the air.
But we're also speaking to all other forces like Angola, because Angola was responsible for the peace talks. So Angola also is being brought in. There's also discussions which include Rwanda, because it is alleged to be also one of the big perpetrators. And that's why we're keeping communications with them. And they've been... They've been friendly. There's been no hostility between us. It's just that at that stage, when they were firing above our heads, the president did warn them to say, if you're going to fire, we'll take it as a declaration of war, and we'll have to defend our people. And that's when the firing also stopped.
Doctor, I'm sure you heard three things there. One, her implication of Rwanda and the skirmishes. Two, a little discomfort And if you had seen the clip, you would have seen she looked over at Deputy Minister Bantu Holomisa almost as if she was being told, no, 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 they're not. And then she goes on to say, no, but we are not, there's no hostility. And then three, she poses this point about a warning from President Ramaphosa. It doesn't seem like Kagame is acting out of turn.
But I feel like take the deletion of the Rwanda Defense Forces and militia. What it tells us is that that statement was not subjected to thorough scrutiny and quality control checks within the government.
Yes.
So I think that's a lesson that ought to be learned there. That senior officials in government ought to pay attention to minor details of the language, because countries go to war in terms of misinterpretation and the language. That's one. Now, coming to the warning, I still tend to think that was lost in the interpretation. There's no way that President Ramaphosa can warn his colleague. Perhaps it's a language issue there. And I still want to believe it's the language issue, because you really cannot warn your counterparts. And I think that's a mistake. And that really what triggered all this spat that we are seeing, and the language that is used by President Kagame. It doesn't justify the language he used to describe President Ramaphosa, but I'm saying it comes from that. I think that that's a bit of a challenge, Refilwe.
But Doctor, if
the
I
other can, issue,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, carry on.
No, please complete.
Carry on.
Okay, I'll go ahead. Thanks, Doctor. I was going to say, just emphasizing your point that you just made, that wars can be fought on the basis of language, it raises a really important issue in our diplomatic engagements now. We cannot, unfortunately, fall on that. You know, Kagame is a polyglot himself. He speaks multiple languages, and is, by the way, far more au fait with times of warfare than we are, and how to engage diplomatically. We can't really get away with the excuse that, not that you're saying it's an excuse, but I guess it puts a spotlight on the fact that we need to tighten up the way that we engage in press conferences, which I found yesterday is very lackadaisical, this lack of response from the presidency, a lack of a clear message and a coordinated message in South Africa, Bantu Holomisa and Angelique Motshekga saying two different things. It just, if you listen to the government spokesperson from Rwanda in almost every interview she's done on South African media today, there's a tone in her voice as if you people are not serious. You don't know how to engage at this level. And it's disappointing.
That's why I'm saying there are lessons to be learned. Yeah. Unfortunately, our democracy is 30 years old. You know,
so is theirs.
Yeah. You know, I always take lessons from, you know, I read George Tenet's book, In the Middle of the Storm. He was the head of the CIA. It explains how the press statement and the statement by the president, it's written, what agencies are involved in preparing the statement and vetting facts on the statement. Anything that is out of facts, the agencies will refuse to include it. Politicians may eventually end up including that. But at the technical level, they do tell them this, you can't say, there are no facts around these issues.
Absolutely.
We need to learn how to coordinate driving the statement. And I think we need to get senior officials in the government to be the ones who are drafting statements for the president. I mean, the president can't be scrutinizing every detailed words. He has to have confidence in people who are supporting him, that they have paid attention to minute details in any statement, particularly during the conflict, when our troops are in the middle of a conflict. That statement, not only senior official, even at the political level, ought to be scrutinized. And I think that's where people are letting down the president, in my own view, to pay attention to some of these details that ends up sending wrong messages and really creating problems for the country.
Indeed. And it's unfortunate, though, Dr. Makubela, that it was a senior official who made the conjecture about warning. That was Minister of Defense, Angie Motshekga.
No, I tend to think that was lost in the interpretation. I think it's the language issue. You know, sometimes you feel hunger suit when translate directly to score.
But
it creates problems.
But I get it. So is Kagame a polyglot? I get it. So here he's, you know what I mean? At some point, but I'm with you. And as he said in his tweet, maybe he said it in a language I don't understand. I want to allow a caller to ask you a question, and then I want just to talk about the way forward. We have Tsepo on the line. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
We're good, Tsepo. What's your comment?
Hey, look, man. I'm actually shocked that what is South Africa doing in other people's business when we can barely handle our own affairs? Number one, we've been been complaining about the Zamazamas and nothing has been done. Then you want to go and fix, a mess in another person's country. But you can't even fix your own mess in the same country, over people who are stuck up somewhere in a hole, and you can't even deal with that mess, and then you want to go make peace when we don't even have peace in our own country. Another thing also, I remember growing up, and if maybe you wanted to bully some boy, some child, and when immediately when you heard who the older brother, Korei, Ebaba, Ungakali, Lapupela, Lona, Spichoke was well known for someone that doesn't even take nonsense for anything, And you, as a younger brother or sister or someone trying to provoke that child, you would even stay away because of, there are countries that have confidence in their leaders because of they know who their leaders, they, number one, their house is in order. Number two, they don't take nonsense. They will stand up for their own country. See, now we don't have such. So imagine we go around, provoking people or meddling in other people's affairs. And then imagine if Rona can say, no, these people bash Jaila Lava. Let's show them just one thing. Who's there to protect us? Last year, the Minister of Defense actually released a statement that our warships surrounding the oceans the coastal areas, they were not in good condition. Mm. Our soldiers, it's a mess. So we're supposed to be dealing with our own issues, putting our house in order before going out there and dealing with other people's businesses and persons.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that insight. Dr. Makubela, your thoughts?
I think the frustration that we're seeing is as a result of failure of government to sell the mission before even sending soldiers to the public, to explain the importance of the mission and to rally the public behind our soldiers. I think it's a noble thing that our soldiers go out to resolve problems around the continent. We can't really look inward on every problem. Problems that we are having, they are a work in progress. All over the world, they have their own problems, but we can't neglect our responsibility around the world. Remember, our foreign policy is based on the consolidation of the African agenda. And at the heart of that is the resolution of the conflict within the continent.
Mm.
So we can't run away from that. We are involved in all this conflict in terms of the resolution. We may differ in terms of the method that the government pursues. Because I speak about the fact that I've studied conflict resolution, and I tend to think that the peaceful resolution of conflict is the most best solution anyway.
Agreed.
Particularly with intractable conflicts. It takes long, but it's something that we should not shy away to peacefully resolve conflict. And that's the strength of this country.
That does tend to be our policy stance in general. I would also add to your sentiments, Doctor, it will be the very same South Africans who'll complain that many of our neighboring states' citizens come here because they are fleeing the very conflict we didn't try to assist them to solve. So there is also, there's an altruistic side to helping conflicts in other countries, but also in some ways, it does protect the South African population. Because ultimately what we find is when people have no way of creating work, then we end up being a haven for refugees in many respects. Final question. So go ahead.
I'm saying when I was at Brand South Africa at one stage about the Congo, we actually foresaw that the day we start receiving body bags, people would complain. And we came up with a strategy with the ambassador in the DRC and the staff at Brand South Africa to go and do a documentary that we had developed the script for it in the life of the South African peacekeeper in the DRC before the SADC mission. Because we thought it was very important for our people really to understand and be able to support South African military people, so that when there are casualties, people would still rally behind the president and the government. But in the absence of any explanation, people read from the newspaper that we've deployed. It's a huge challenge. And I think that's a lesson that the government ought to learn in terms of selling anything that involve the lives of South African outside the borders of this country.
Indeed. Doctor, I don't have time to play you the clip, but I want to just give some context to what President Kagame had to say at the EAC summit yesterday. And his intimation was around the fact that South Africa probably doesn't belong in this, not just because it's not a neutral player, but also because to him, this is an East African community issue. He feels as though the DRC tends to manipulate other participants. And I wondered if you had a view on whether the dual membership of EAC and SADC by both DRC and Tanzania, for example, doesn't present a little bit of confusion. So, you know, Kagame won't come to the Luanda process, but he'll go to the Nairobi process EAC. He will not engage in something that is overseen by Angola, which is on West Africa, Southern Africa. However, DRC feels the need to call his their friends. Tshisekedi feels the need to call his friends in SADC to help him resolve issues in EAC, which was what he was intimating yesterday. Does that create some conflict in the way we see the way forward?
You know, when the African Union was formed, there was a decision taken that countries must belong to one regional bloc. And that was precisely to try to prevent this. You can see the way the DRC is playing this. When it's convenient on certain things, they lean on their SADC membership. When it's convenient on other things, they lean on the East African communities. I mean, there's been meetings now in Nairobi organized by President Ruto that we are not even party of that, even though we support, we provide military there. So that's a huge challenge. And I think it really accentuates the importance of really streamlining this RECs, that no country should be involved in multiple organizations. And I think that decision belongs to the AU. They need to learn some lessons around these issues.
Sure. Well, much more for us to discuss. I look forward to speaking to you again, Dr. Makubela. Always appreciate your perspectives here on TV, wherever we read them. Dr. Makubela is a risk analyst and former diplomat. Dr. Kingsley Makubela, thanks for joining us this evening on Point of View.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.